The Old Testament reading is from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verses 1 to 16. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, his palace administrator. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was off killing the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Ahab had said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so we will not have to kill any of our animals." So they divided the land and were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. As Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed to the ground and said, "Is it really you, my Lord Elijah?" "Yes," he replied. "Go tell your master, Elijah is here." "What have I done wrong," asked Obadiah, "that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death? As surely as the Lord lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab that and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here,' he will kill me." Elijah said, "As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The New Testament reading is from the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of the Lord lives forever. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel is taken from St. John chapter 17, beginning from verse 6 to 9. John chapter 17, beginning from 6 to 9. "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of this world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they have accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may see, they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. This is the gospel of Christ. Please be seated.
Well, good morning. I'll get myself organized in a minute. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Pray, Father, this morning, your Spirit will guide us and encourage us to be faithful in serving you. We just seek that guidance. We seek that empowering in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I wonder how many of you want to and yearn for the fire of Elijah in your life. I think many of you sort of rather have a little candle. Maybe just a little candle. It won't blow out. You know, we should be on fire for God. And we talk about Elijah and see what he's doing and what he has done, how God used him. We see we need that fire to be faithful in serving him. And our theme this morning is about faithfulness. And we just want to follow that through because Elijah was faithful, you know that. He had a fire in his soul. He was faithful, and yet at times he was also fearful. But like us, he had those moments of great energy and desire to worship God and do what God said. And at times he just wanted to run away. I won't ask you to put up your hand if you've ever felt like that. But I know I have at times. We've got an echo somewhere. Shall I just try the other mic? We're waiting for the signal from the back.
We might go to the other mic, George.
Right. Faithfulness is knowing that when you've got a trouble, there's always someone to help you out. But another prophet who showed great faithfulness, as we heard from the scriptures this morning, was the prophet Obadiah, who had not shown the same fire of the Spirit as Elijah did, but his faithfulness matched Elijah. Like Elijah, he had reason to cause fear for his life. And he took great risks to be a faithful servant of God. And so that's our theme, is faithfulness. But faithfulness to some is foolishness to others. And no doubt we've all wanted to be faithful to God. But I wonder how many of you felt when you've tried to be faithful to God, somebody else considers you a fool. Ever been in that situation? It depends which way you're looking. There are those who would judge our faithfulness as foolishness, and they subject us to all sorts of mockery and division, and derision or rejection even. It can happen at work or in the classroom, on special occasions, and even at times within our families, simply because they regard our choice to be faithful to God, faithful to Jesus, to be utter foolishness in their eyes, the eyes of the world. I'm sure that many of you, like me, have worked in places where you experienced hostility and mockery simply because of your faith in Christ. Before becoming a vicar, I spent 19 years training graduate physics teachers in an institution which most of the staff were secular humanists. Some claimed to be rationalists. Their behaviour didn't show that, but that's what they claimed. And others were wedded to being Marxist. The Marxist ideology was their total ideal. But they still wanted to have their own possessions. Their beliefs were hardly different to, were clearly different to the minority group of Christian staff members. And while most accepted us and were quite vocal in their intolerance of our desire to be faithful to God, there were all sorts of other things happening. No doubt you also have had people talking loudly behind your about you within your hearing, about you being a follower of Jesus. Maybe you've been accused also of being a hypocrite, a bigot, a Bible basher, and other names I won't mention. You've probably heard radio announcers displaying their ignorance and arrogance by mocking Christians and feeling that they're doing the right thing. You may have had the equivalent of the Marxist lecturer who loudly criticised Christians outside my lecture room and who left a Gideon Bible on my desk, written across it, fiction. The strange thing is that we carpooled today, every day, together to work. And he never mentioned these things. And despite my attempting to get him talking, he resolutely decided not to. Now, there was no great danger or any threat in my life in all these things. But it highlights the clash that we have between a Christian worldview and a secular worldview. A clash between faithfulness to God and what becomes really a self-centeredness. A clash between the citizens of the kingdom of God and the confused citizens of the kingdom of this world. And of course, it's been like that down through the ages. But all of this pales into insignificance when we compare it to the threats that Elijah and Obadiah experienced. These two men of God showed amazing faithfulness. And you'll remember this from 1 Kings 18. After a long time, in the third year, now 3 years mightn't seem long to you, but if you've been in a drought and had no food for 3 years and been scrabbling around looking for a bit of water, 3 years would be a very long time. In the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Well, that sounds pretty simple enough, doesn't it? Ahab was the king, and he should welcome a visit from the prophet who had said that the drought was over. Well, it wasn't quite that simple. You'll recall in the previous chapter of 1 Kings 17 that Elijah had prophesied the drought, so he really was in the firing line. Remember what it said? Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except by my word. You've got to be pretty faithful to God to go to say to the king, this is what's going to happen. Now, Ahab was a wicked king, as you know, and Elijah's faithfulness was going to be put to the test. But there was more to come. Ahab's wife was Jezebel, and she was determined to kill Elijah and all of God's prophets. Jezebel had pushed Ahab into worshipping the pagan gods, particularly the gods of Baal and Asherah. She was an evil woman. She used her position as Ahab's wife to wield enormous power. She was single-minded about destroying all traces of worship of Yahweh, and Elijah, God's prophet, was a prime target. How would you feel if you were Elijah? And now you were going to go and face up to Ahab, knowing what his wife was wanting. That strong fire of faith might start to flicker, I think. But as we see, what is faithfulness to one person is foolishness to another. Today, in today's world, we're told that faithfulness restricts our freedom to please ourselves. Faithfulness, commitment, loyalty, devotion are seen as rather dated concepts, quaint, old-fashioned words. Faithfulness is seen as foolishness to those who put self first, who want their own way and flip-flop from one person to another, depending on, it seems, whichever way the wind is blowing. Putting self first, changing loyalties, going with what is popular, opting out when the going gets tough, self-protection, fickleness in decision-making, fear of standing out but craving attention seem to be the characteristics of many people in a confused world that we live in. But Paul tells us this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The strength to be faithful comes by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us wisdom and discernment and the strength to live faithful lives. But let's go back to Elijah. About the same time as Elijah had been told to go to Ahab, Ahab had asked Obadiah, his palace administrator, to help him search for valleys, for grass, for the horses and the mules. Obviously, at that time, the horses and mules were really important because those were the things that would be used to protect the kingdom that Ahab ruled. At the same time as that, Jezebel was searching for Elijah and the prophets, so that she could kill them. Now, despite all of this, Obadiah was the palace administrator. He worked for a wicked king. But look at his name. His name was a devoted servant of God, slave of God, worshipper of Yahweh. Some of you may work with bad, self-centered bosses whose business dealings are questionable. But you stay there because God seems to want you there. You might not know why, but it just seems right for you to stay, despite what you're putting up with. And yet, you are faithful to God, just as Obadiah stayed as the palace administrator. This faithfulness in serving God in a hostile environment is seen as foolishness to many people. But if those are God's plans for you, you need to be there. You don't know what God's going to be able to do through you being there. God had plans for Obadiah, even though Jezebel was on the rampage killing prophets and seeking Elijah. Obadiah had hidden 100 prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and out of his own money provided for them with food and water, right under the nose of Jezebel and Ahab. I wonder how many of you would do something like that. I wonder how many of us would be willing to take such risks. Well, you know, today, even this morning, somewhere around the world where Christians are being persecuted, there are other faithful believers who are taking risks and risking their lives, which are under threat from the authorities. These are the actions of faithful Christians, willing to hide others to protect them. The actions of faithful people or the actions of foolish people. Under Ahab's instructions, Obadiah set off to search for grass and water for the king's animals. And on the way, he came across Elijah. And Elijah told Obadiah to go and tell Ahab that he was on his way to meet him. So listen to Obadiah's reaction. Perhaps if you were in Obadiah's shoes, you might have reacted much the same way. So what does Obadiah say? What have I done wrong? Asked Obadiah, that you're handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death. Are you out of your mind, Elijah? As surely as the Lord your God lives, there's not a nation or a kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claims that you were not there, he made them swear that they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, Elijah is here. I don't know where the Spirit of God may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab that you're here and he doesn't find you, he'll kill me. You can imagine Obadiah's problems, can't you? Elijah had not been an easy person to find. It seems whenever Ahab or Jezebel thought they had him cornered, the Spirit of God took him somewhere else. And so the search went on. And now Obadiah was scared this would happen again. Before Ahab or Jezebel went to the place where that Obadiah had met Elijah, he might just disappear again, and then he would be in trouble. But that initial panic he had subsided, and Obadiah's faithfulness took hold of him again. Listen to his response. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. He was faithful, long-term servant of God, obviously. Haven't you heard, my Lord, that I did what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. That's faithfulness. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, Elijah is here. He'll kill me. Elijah said, as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today. You're thinking, don't you care, Elijah? But, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. I think Ahab thought, I've got him pinned down at last. But it seems that Elijah was ignoring Obadiah's concern. His faithfulness gave rise to obedience. And that's what it is for us. Faithfulness gives rise to obedience. But such obedience is regarded by many people, particularly in this generation, as foolishness. But real foolishness, the foolishness of disobedience, may give a cheap thrill or even a taste of power and independence, but it never satisfies. Disobedience grows and becomes addictive. And we see the consequences of disobedience and foolishness of disobedience every time we turn on the news or open the newspaper. Look at the last lot of statistics for the road death. Look at other things that are happening. Elijah and Obadiah were men of great faithfulness. Their faithfulness was evidenced not by what they said, but by what they did. But they were also like us, ordinary human beings, with their strengths and their weaknesses, their moments of boldness and their moments of fear. But their faithfulness was anchored in a faithful God. A God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A God who is trustworthy and true. A God who is not capricious and fickle like the gods of Abraham, Ahab, and Jezebel, or the gods of Mammon that have taken control of so many people today. Paul reminded us of this. Paul wrote, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, pleasing will." This is the heart of faithfulness. It requires sacrifice. Sacrifice of selfishness and self-centeredness. It requires us to turn away from the worldliness around us that never gives up trying to squeeze it into its own mold and which regards those who do not conform to its ways as fools. The world around us judges us by our success and achievements, but Mother Teresa said this: "We are called upon not to be successful, but to be faithful." In itself, there's nothing wrong with success, of course, and achievement. It's not a matter of success or faithfulness. There are many examples of faithful Christians who have been very successful in business and academic achievement, on the sports field, and of course many other areas. But what marks them out is their motivation and the ways they handle their successes and their humility and the grace they show, the testimonies they give. Their aim is to give glory to God and not to seek fame and glory for themselves. But the world judges this as foolishness. John wrote this in his first letter. Listen to his instructions. To people like us in a world whose ways are alien to God's kingdom: do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Notice that last verse. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Elijah and Obadiah chose to do the will of God. And those who do the will of God are promised eternal life. Extreme threats from Jezebel and Ahab did not deter them. They were fearful at times, but faithfulness was greater than their fears. And their legacy is recorded in the scriptures. It's a reminder for us to pursue faithfulness. But what about you? And what about me? How steadfast is our faithfulness? What's your legacy? What will it be? Are you leaving a legacy of faithfulness when you die? Remember what Mother Teresa said? We are called upon not to be successful but faithful. What will people remember about you when it comes to your funeral? You probably won't have to think about that. You won't be there anyway. But will they talk about your successes in the worldly things, or will they testify to your faithfulness in serving a living God? The choice will be yours, even now in the things you do. Choose the way of faithfulness. I would rather be remembered for faithfulness than anything else. That doesn't mean to say I always am as faithful as I should be. But today is Trinity Sunday, and God reveals himself to us as Father, as Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts and graces, and the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Maybe this morning some of you would like prayer to strengthen a faithfulness that you have. You may be strongly faithful, but you want more. You may not be so strong, and you just want more faithfulness. Let's just bow our heads in prayer.